The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Little Funky Friday right here on 710 KNUS. My name's George. This is my show, George Brockler, on The George Show. Some things I wanted to remind you about. There was a big announcement. It's something that the mainstream media isn't going to report on, but you'll get it here, and we're going to do some analysis. You may recall that, a couple years ago, that the legislature got together and decided to declassify possession of fentanyl from the felony level to the misdemeanor level. And the person who, was completely absent on that debate was a guy named Phil Weiser. He's our attorney general. And finally admitted it at the Club 20 debate with John Kellner, admitted he played no role whatsoever in trying to advance or derail that effort. But the guy that signed it into law was named Jared Polis. He is our one-term governor, for the moment, one-term governor. And he made possession of up to four grams of fentanyl, a misdemeanor. That could kill 2,000 people, right? Maybe 4 ounces, 2,000 people in its purest form. Now, we saw a number of fentanyl deaths occur in the state of Colorado, surging to over, 1,200 a year. And as a result of that, there was some frenetic activity that took place because I think the people in charge of the legislature, that'd be the Dems and the progressives, freaked out like, oh, my God, we're going to end up wearing this in an election year. Let's scramble to come up with a way to fix this. And law enforcement, who had begged them not to do it to begin with, came out and said, you are killing people. Let's do something and make it a felony again. And sure enough, they go to the legislature and the legislature wrings its hands and it gnashes its teeth and it says, well, we're worried about it. Senadora Julie Gonzalez, that's what she calls herself, not me, says, well, we can't make it all felonies because what if the illegal aliens get caught up in the prosecution of fentanyl and they end up having a deportable of, that's the kind of stuff we're dealing with, folks, that we're worried about how this will affect the immigration consequences for illegal aliens, not how it's going to affect the lives of people who generally by mistake ingest lethal amounts of fentanyl. Anyway, we get to the point now where this bill is coming forward and they, can we do this? Can we? And they finally decide we'll lower it from four grams to one to make it a felony for 2 grams, 3 grams, and 4 grams. However, you have these built-in defenses, all of this ridiculousness. And can one gram please be a misdemeanor? We've got to have some level of being a misdemeanor. Well, guess who shows up to say it should all be a felony because fentanyl is anthrax? The dude who signed the thing into law to make it a misdemeanor to begin with. A year later, the governor shows up and says, it's anthrax, it's poison, make it a felony no matter the amount. Now, does the media stay on him and beat him up for making that initial mistake? No. A couple questions here and there, but he skates right by them. Well, then you can fast forward. That's flip-flop number one. And in the hat trick of hypocrisy, that is the very first one, right? That's the first thing. Then we know that Proposition CC came to town a couple years ago. It was put on the ballot. It was an effort to take away all of your Tabor refunds because government knows better how to spend your money than you do. And guess who was a prime promoter and advocate of Proposition CC? Yep, that's right. Governor Jared Polis campaigned for eliminating your Tabor tax refunds, telling you it never really amounts to much. You know, collectively, it can do some real good because government's so smart with your money, but you don't need that kind of money. That thing gets defeated pretty handily at the polls, as it always does. Anytime they try to tinker with Tabor, folks show up and say, I guess I don't think you're smarter than me with my money. So he loses. What happens this year? What happens this year sounds a lot like this.
And we're here today because Colorado cash back checks are already in the mail system.
That is how Governor Polis started off a press conference to tout checks that in any other year but an election year, we would call Tabor refunds. The very refunds Polis tried to get rid of right after he was elected when he pushed for the passage of Proposition CC, which would have eliminated the spending caps under Tabor.
You're calling this Colorado cashback. It's a Tabor refund. Why not just be honest with people? Why call it Colorado cashback?
Well, the press is calling it Colorado cashback.
No, his press releases call it that.
You listen, first off, cashback, I don't understand. But nonetheless, here once again, the governor, he's just politically pragmatic, folks, and he understands the environment in which he operates, which is one of largely impunity. But for the Sean Boyds of the world pushing on him, nobody continues to ask him about the flip-flops. Well, that's flip-flop number two in the hat trick of hypocrisy, where here's a guy that wanted to take away all the Tabor refunds that you have, and then when that got defeated and they turned out to be huge, he accelerated the giving them back to you with checks that you got the month before you're going to get your ballot in the mail that he appears on. Couldn't call it a Tabor refund, though. Had to change it into the Colorado cashback, which he then blames the media for calling it that. And again, outside of Sean Boyd, who's pushing him on this? Where are the Denver Post editorials blowing him up repeatedly over these things? But now enter the third one. It happened just yesterday. Now, you may recall that last week, Mitch Morrissey, the former DA from Denver, he's a Democrat, and me, the former DA from the 18th Judicial District, I'm not a Democrat. The two of us combined have somewhere around 1.8, 1.9 million Coloradans within our jurisdiction at the time that we were the DAs. We had been working with the Common Sense Institute, a fantastic nonpartisan think tank, really focused on economic issues, but to the extent that crime hits the economy, they show up and do reports on it. So sure enough, about a year and a half ago, maybe, they reached out to me. They reached out to Mitch. They said, hey, we need you two to be part of a process to look at how crime is impacting the economy, victims, all that other stuff. And we've generated a number of reports. The latest one was last week. You can find it at Common Sense Institute, CO, that's for Colorado, .org. And that report, which we discussed on the air here with Mitch, was about the fact that we've gone from number one in motor vehicle theft nationwide to number one in motor. It's unabated. We've had just year over year, 17% increase in car thefts. That's on top of last year's 32% increase in car thefts. The other thing that developed was that it turns out 85% of these vehicles are valued at $25,000 or less. Two-thirds of the vehicles, I think, are less than $15,000. That tells you that the people most impacted by this epidemic of car theft are working class people that can't afford to have a car stolen. Now, all along the way that we're having these discussions, it's pointed out that in large part, this crime tsunami of just car thefts coincides some pretty significant changes in the law that began in 2014, which just coincidentally, I'm sure, it's just correlation, not causation, is when the legislature redid the penalties available for car theft. And of course, they watered them down. All car theft to this day is probation eligible, regardless of the value of the vehicle that you end up stealing. And that started in 2014 when we ratcheted it down. Well, guess what? A year ago, the governor of the state of Colorado signed into law the reduction of the theft of a vehicle valued at $2,000 or less, made it a misdemeanor, made it punishable the way it was for 1 to 4 grams of fentanyl. Just a misdemeanor. And of course, we've seen car thefts continue to surge in that environment. Now, the people with their hands on the levers of government, and that is across the board, start to stop out of Denver and Colorado, are Democrats. Now, this doesn't have to be a political issue. It just turns out to be that it is one particular party who controls everything and wants to run away from this crime tsunami. So you'll recall that in the debate, but at out there in Douglas County, but and I can't remember where it was now, between Kellner and Weiser. Weiser is caught bragging about Jefferson County's approach to car theft. Back at the time, by the way, when he thought Jefferson County had the lowest numbers in the metro area, it turns out they don't. They had 24% increase in motor vehicle theft. They led the metro area. But he touted them saying, hey, they've got a policy that after three or four stolen cars, within a three-month period, you might get the idea that maybe they're just going to keep stealing cars. I don't know where that crazy idea comes from. Nonetheless, he says, then you keep them in jail on a high bond. You couldn't get the idea after the first stolen car or the second. But after three or four in a three-month period, I mean, if you steal three or four over a year, you're pacing yourself. You don't really pose a risk. Then you get to the point where they're at the latest, there being Kellner and Weiser, at the Club 20 forum. And the same issue comes up again, and it's addressed like this.
Phil, you supported a bill that would have prevented police from arresting most car thieves at a time when car theft is ravaging our state. And you made it so you basically advocated for a bill that would have essentially said you could only give them a ticket. Isn't that right?
The position I have, what I think you're talking about, is around pretrial issues. And the position is, only those who are a threat to public safety should be held pretrial, not based on whether you're rich or poor.
The answer to the question that John asked, of course, was yes, I advocated for Senate Bill 62, which basically said you get the equivalent of a speeding ticket for stealing somebody's means of transportation to work, to the school for your kids, to the doctor's appointments, to groceries, all that other stuff. That's the answer he couldn't quite give. But the governor backed him on that as well. In fact, the governor signs that law that makes motor vehicle theft at below $2,000 a misdemeanor. Well, enter the report from Common Sense Institute, which Mitch Morrissey and I authored last week. Yes, am I doing a victory lap? You bet. Am I patting myself on the back? Both hands, folks. Because yesterday, the governor of the state of Colorado, and I'm holding it right here. I'm going Rush Limbaugh with this piece of paper. Sends a letter to Stan Hilke. Stan's the former sheriff out of Mesa County, the current head of public safety for the state of Colorado. Good dude. He's also the chair of the Colorado Commission on Criminal and Juvenile Justice, which we have spoken about here. It's a bunch of different stakeholders. It includes like the touchy-feely harm reduction people. It includes victims, some prosecutors, a lot of anti-law enforcement people, and some members of law enforcement. They're supposed to have been, and it was stood up by Governor Bill Ritter a long time ago. It's supposed to be the gatekeeper for legislation that deals with big policy stuff. And that in the past, Governor Ritter had wisely said, if you try to send me big changes in criminal justice law without it being vetted by the CCJJ, I will veto it. Now, since then, Hickenlooper doesn't do that. Polis doesn't really do that. But Governor Polis, sensing blood in the water, and that blood looks a lot like the oil that's seeping out of all the stolen cars right here, writes a letter to Stan Hilke, and this is how some of it goes. First off, he gives them a lot of congratulations on some stuff that they've done. He says, I want to thank you for your service and commitment to ensuring the safety and security for the people of Colorado. Here are some suggested topics. Now, what I don't know yet, and I want to look into, is does he send suggested topics to the CCJJ every mid-September before an election year? I don't know. But this is what he says. Since the letter that I transmitted to you in 2020, that means he didn't send one last year, our state and nation has experienced, that's a mistake in word choice, by the way, it's our state and nation have experienced, but that's not how they wrote it, a rise in crime to which we must respond with, wait for it, urgency and intentionality. Previously, all of these folks were saying, hey, this is just cyclical crime. It's affecting everyone. It's going to take care of itself. He says in here, and rightfully so, Coloradans deserve to feel safe and secure in their homes, communities, schools, places of work, places of worship, and wherever they travel throughout the state. I agree. As governor, I'm dedicated to making Colorado one of the top 10 safest cities. Not next year, not the year after. within the next 5 years. So well after he's out of office, should he be reelected? And that's what I love about the politicians that do this. They have a 4-year term. You bet they have a 5-year plan. If they have a 2-year term, you bet they have a 3-year plan. Don't hold me accountable for what I can't get done while I'm in office, because it's not really supposed to resolve till I'm gone. Then he praises them for the very thing that put us in this hot box. In the last two legislative sessions, the Commission and General Assembly made progress in promoting public safety by revising misdemeanor sentencing and offenses, revisiting the list of felonies that would prevent an offender from possessing a firearm, POWPO, and by clarifying purposes of probation and the services that should be provided. Folks, he is touting and thanking them for making motor vehicle theft of $2,000 or less a misdemeanor. He's thanking them for making possession of up to 2,000 lethal doses of fentanyl a misdemeanor. He's thanking them, and these are all laws he signed in. He's thanking them for rearming convicted drug dealers and car thieves, because that's what the legislature did. Convicted drug dealers and car thieves can now carry firearms thanks to Governor Jared Polis and the legislature. And you know who else advocated for that change in the law? Phil Weiser, the attorney general. And he's thanking them. And then the craziness sets in. He puts in the rest of this letter, this is page one, a prioritization of the factors that need to go into sentencing. And number one is maximizing community safety. I agree. Then there's a bunch of huggy stuff. And then all the way down at number five is providing effective deterrence to committing crimes. That's number five, by the way, on the list. And then after he says that, he says, given these values, we must address the challenges of increased violent and property crime that has, again, it should be that have, I don't know who's proofing these things, but they got to get someone outside of high school to do this, that have escalated due to societal and cyclical factors. So there it is, folks, washing his hands of any role in making us the number one state in America for motor vehicle theft, the number one state in aggravated robberies, bank robberies, I'm sorry, and the number two state for fentanyl overdose deaths, rinsing his hands of that, he blames it all on societal and cyclical factors. How about legislative and policy factors? So here's what he says. Increased public safety and the security of Coloradans should be the number one priority. What? Knock my socks? Where's this guy been? Where's this cat been? Do you remember his State of the State address just back in January when he talked about getting tough on crime? He said we need to increase penalties for drug dealers, and not all drug dealers, fentanyl dealers. That's it. Nothing else. Well, enter election era Governor Polis. Now he says, I'm particularly interested in having the commission examine charges to auto theft sentencing, so that repeat offenders and the most egregious perpetrators cannot easily return to communities to further inflict harm on the people of Colorado. What? Who wrote this? The guy that changed the law to make theft of motor vehicles of $2,000 or less a misdemeanor? What? There's more to this letter. I want to share this with you because this is surrender. This is surrender by the governor of the state of Colorado on the policies that he signed into law. And in light of the information that is undeniable, in light of the report that was issued by CSI last week, this is now a recognition that, these numbers suck and the public may hold us accountable for them. I got to try to rescue this. So much like he did with the Colorado Koshback, flip-flopping on whether you should get Tabor refunds, much like he did with changing fentanyl from a felony to a misdemeanor and then declaring it to be anthrax, warranting making it all a felony, now the governor has shown up to change policies yet again to the one that should have always been in place, and that is to declare there needs to be strong mandatory penalties for car thieves. We're going to talk more about this when we come back. I just got to cut away for a quick break here. When we come back, you, me, the governor's letter to the CCJJ, and your calls at 303-696-1971. What is going on here? Is this pure politics, or is the governor really opening his eyes to what's happening in the state of Colorado? George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. It is Funky Friday right here on 710 KNUS. That feels more like Rappy Friday.
No.
Old school, you know, Rappy. This isn't as funky. Like, when I think of funk, I'm thinking 70s-ish. No.
That's
true. Like,
this is 80s.
This feels 80s-ish.
Now, who was this? Do you remember?
This is Herbie Hancock.
Yeah.
Boom.
The number one most popular breakdancing song in the mid-80s. This was it.
Hold on. It's not anymore?
Not anymore. Oddly enough, you remember the old Rainbow Music Hall?
I do not.
Oh, well, Rainbow Music Hall, I went to the first ever Denver breakdancing championships.
Did you participate?
No. I was going as a fan. I don't have that much rhythm. Not that good at it. I could break dance, but not that good. So went there with my friends. It was interesting because that song, Rocket.
Yeah.
I think there were 8 groups performing that night. 7 of them used that song. And that was a problem because by the third time, you're like, really? I get to see you guys do this again.
Yeah, consistent.
It was really bad. In fact, the team that had the one unique song ended up being one of my favorites simply because they had the unique song.
That's it.
Yeah, that was it.
It reminds me of the Dumb and Dumber clip with Jim Carrey where they're in the truck and he's like, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Yeah.
I mean, that is the equivalent of that. Hey, listen, we're back here on The George Show. I want to continue to have this conversation with you about the hat trick of hypocrisy and sort of how the governor, and we'll see if he's able to get away with it with impunity from the mainstream media. I presume that he will be, and that is a complete and utter flip-flop on the laws that he just last year signed into being, including making the theft of a vehicle of $2,000 or less a misdemeanor. Now, wait for this. This is the next paragraph. And again, as I'm reading it, I continue to find grammatical errors. Like, if this chucklehead talking to you on the radio is finding grammatical errors, who in God's name is proofreading these things before they allow the governor's signature on it? It ain't him. He's too smart for this. Who's failing him? So here's what he says after announcing, which is amazing, that he wants the commission to examine changes to auto theft sentencing. These are the sentences. It's almost like he pulled them out of the Common Sense Institute report. Auto theft is, and the word that's missing is A, folks. Someone has left the entire word out. Auto theft is a devastating property crime for those affected, who often lose their only way to get to work or get to the store. In addition, brace yourselves. It makes me feel like I'm in bizarro world to hear the governor say this. In addition, it is frequently a precursor crime that is often used in furtherance of violence and other crimes. OMG. Where did that come from? I don't know. I mean, it came from the CSI report. It came from law enforcement for years begging the legislature not to make the changes to the laws that have put us in this position. And now the governor, who signed them into being without hesitation, without objection, now comes forward and says these things. You know, if you listen to the quote unquote harm reduction people, and really that term just means we don't want to revisit harm to any offenders or lawbreakers. They say that this is no joke. They've said, you know, people steal cars because they're looking for a nice, warm place to stay. Uh-huh. The head of the ACLU, there was an article here written by the Denver Post, of all people, back in May of 2022. It says, how did Colorado become one of the worst states for vehicle theft? Auto theft task force officials, reformers disagree. Well, now you can add to the law enforcement officials, the governor. Here's the director of advocacy for the ACLU of Colorado, Taylor Pendergrass, said he's heard it all before and he's not buying it. Quote, if you're looking for the cause of why auto theft is up 107% just since 2019, my God, the most likely culprit is economic insecurity, lack of economic opportunity, and housing instability. Crime has surged as people are stressed and have lost their jobs. Utter, provably false garbage. And you know who now believes that to be false as well? The governor, who says frequently car theft is a precursor crime that is used in the furtherance of violence and other crimes. What does that have to do with economic insecurity? What does that have to do with I can't find my job? And as we know, the unemployment level here in Colorado, not that bad. So that can't be the answer. It's just amazing that he says this. But here's his recommendation. Enhancing the penalties associated with auto theft. These are the key words. Regardless of the value of the vehicle stolen. That's right, folks. A final acknowledgement that the structure that he signed into law, that the Attorney General of the state of Colorado enthusiastically endorsed, that some district attorneys in Colorado endorsed, that that scheme is regressive and that it punishes more the lower classes and middle class, working class folks who lose their vehicles get punished more by car theft than richy rich folks. And yet the law says we'll punish you less for doing more damage to a family. Finally, the governor. Enhancing the penalties associated with auto theft, regardless of the value of the vehicle stolen, has the potential to make us, that's us, safer and improve the quality of life in Colorado. Where hath you been, Jared Polis? What could cause this turnaround in the words that you speak and the conduct that you engage in? Could it be, dare I say, and this might just seem super, super, I don't know, skeptical. Could it be that you're on the ballot? Could it be that people are going to get ballots on October the 17th in their mailboxes for which you will stand for potential re-election? Could that be it? You hadn't generated a letter in 2 years. Why now? Why this topic? Why the urgency? This is what he says. The commission should also examine updating the language to elevate the severity of crime based on the number of prior offenses. What? You mean repeat offenders should get crushed harder by the system than one-time offenders? Specifically targeting prolific auto thieves. And this isn't just a passing fancy. These are his words. This is a top priority of mine. And then he says, look, even if the commission does not come forward with recommendations this year, I will look to work with the legislature to enact reforms in this area in the upcoming session. He's thrown down the gauntlet. This is such a priority for him and for the state of Colorado that if the CCJJ fails to make recommendations to make things worse for car thieves, he's going to go find some legislator to do it himself. The commission should especially revisit the criminal classification of auto theft as it relates to the monetary value of a stolen vehicle. Wow. It is my preference that the commission take its time. No. Expedite this particular issue. Expedite it. Now, that urgency may very well be the reflection of what this report highlighted last week, which is we are drowning in car theft. We're on pace, folks, for 48,000 stolen vehicles in 1 year in the state of Colorado. 48,000. That is likely 48,000 families impacted. And we know that 85% of them will be valued at $25,000 or less. That is likely tens of thousands of working class families who are victims of car theft because of a system that didn't just happen over decades, that sprung into being when a certain political party got its hands on the legislature and the governorship. And now the guy that signed these things into law, you know what would be really credibility enhancing is if he had a press conference today that said, listen, I signed some things into law. I thought it was the right thing to do. I was advised it was the right thing to do. I believed it at the time, but the numbers have proven me wrong, and I'm going to shift gear. I will change my mind in the face of legitimate conflicting evidence. That would be the kind of thing where I think most voters, especially unaffiliated voters who have had enough of the parties, would say, that's refreshing. But instead, I imagine it'll be like the Colorado Koshback. He'll change his mind without saying he changed it. He'll repackage it as something else. And now he's become the champion of the little guy whose cars keep getting stolen. He encourages the commission to study, discuss, and return recommendations to him on the following topics. deploying evidence-based practices. By the way, another scurrilous topic, evidence-based. It's just stats, folks. You can make them say almost anything you want, but in this case, they've usually been used to say incarceration doesn't work, penalties don't work. Well, it sounds like the governor's now rejecting that. He says the commission should examine enhanced penalties associated with auto theft, including prolific auto thieves. The commission should examine and prepare recommendations for changes to auto theft sentencing so that repeat offenders and the most egregious perpetrators cannot easily return to communities to further inflict harm on the people of Colorado. My God, man, John Kellner's been saying that since he's been in office. I've been saying it for the 8 years prior to that, and since then on the radio, guys like Michael Allen in El Paso have been saying it. Other DAs have got on board with the hug it out train. And now here we are with the governor saying, actually, I feel more like Kellner and Allen, but I'm never going to say those words out loud. And then he gives you some reason for concern here. And this is what I mean. The next paragraph, it's numbered two, says the commission should continue the work of the Sentencing Reform Task Force by completing the ongoing work regarding felony sentencing and probation alternative sentences while also considering reforms to mandatory consecutive sentencing. There it is. After the guy recognizes that changing the laws to water down the penalties for motor vehicle theft has actually resulted in a surge in motor vehicle theft, then implores the CCJJ to address watering down mandatory consecutive sentencing and alternatives to incarceration for felonies. And that is what's coming for the legislature next year. If in November, the exact same people have their hands on the exact same levers of government, I promise you, what just happened with quote-unquote misdemeanor reform and rearming convicted drug dealers and rearming car thieves with weapons, that's coming for the rest of the felony bodies of law. We got to have a change, folks. Republicans have to put a brake on this slide into lawlessness. Either got to take back the Senate and end this goofiness, or got to take back the Senate, got to take back the governorship. My God, how about an attorney general that will stand up and fight for victims? How about that? How about someone who will recognize that the badge that you take a picture of and put on social media isn't just some trinket to throw in your pocket so you can claim to be part of the good guys? It actually compels you to take action on behalf of public safety and community safety. How about someone who won't run away from the title chief law enforcement official after having thrown your arms around it for 3 years, once the numbers go south? How about somebody who's been in the business of protecting a community through vigorous, fair, and just prosecution? I don't know who that is. I just know who it isn't, and that isn't the incumbent. We need a governor who recognizes this at the front end, not at the back end. We don't need any more flip-flopping. We don't need any more governors, any more politicians who change their mind to fit what they should have done in the first place and never admit it and instead change their tune. Made fentanyl a misdemeanor and then called it poison. Wanted to end Tabor refunds and then called it the Colorado Koshback. Made the possession and the stealing of vehicles at less than $2,000 a misdemeanor and decreased penalties, rearmed convicted drug dealers and car thieves, and now says maybe we ought not have done that. The mainstream media isn't going to call these things out. Not like I have. Not like you and I are talking about right now. That will never, ever, never happen because that isn't the message they want. In fact, when's the last time you heard of a national news outlet with all of these big time racism? When's the last time you heard about car theft sweeping America? My guess is right now, right at this moment, that the executive branch of state government has asked somebody to relook at that Common Sense Institute report and all the numbers that are generated by CMAT and the other auto theft task forces that are out there and try to figure out a better narrative, because the one that they've generated through their policy changes is a dumpster fire for working class people. I think they are horrified that 85% of the tens of thousands of stolen vehicles come from working class people, and they don't want it to be true. So my guess is right now somebody with some state agency, maybe even a state law enforcement agency, is back there crushing numbers, trying to spin these things into something else. And if they can find it, you'll hear about it in the next couple of days. If they can't, you'll never hear about it again. You know what should happen is we should CORA request the communications between the governor's office and any of the public safety arms out there, whether it's the public safety division that's headed by Stan Hilke, whether it's State Patrol headed by Colonel Packard, whether it's Kayak. I don't know if Kayak can play a role in this or not, but there's got to be an effort here to figure out how government is trying to re-spin these horrific numbers. Anyway, we've just spent two segments taking apart what I'm going to consider a victory for Colorado and a victory for the Common Sense Institute and a victory for public safety and criminal justice. And that is the awakening of our governor to the idea that penalties matter, that penalties for crime protect the public. And you heard it here first, and my guess is you won't hear it anywhere else afterwards. Listen, we're going to cut away for a break, and then we're going to be joined by our friends at Alpine Planning. But before we get there, I want to tell you about Bingo Reverse Mortgage. You know, when Alpine comes on, they're going to talk to us about the state of the economy. We always hope for the best, but we're super smart about how to deal with things in the reality of what is today's financial markets. And that's what we'll get from Alpine. But when you start looking, especially if you're 55 and older, how am I going to secure my retirement? Bingo Reverse Mortgage is the place to go. These are the folks that can help you tap into the equity of your home, the equity you own, you've earned, and you deserve. They can help you take some of the sting off of this Biden inflation. They can help you take some of the sting out of the prices of just day-to-day living. Heck, it could help you get into a new home, or maybe it just helps give you that cushion and security that you need to move forward with a real retirement. These folks are going to save the American retirement. They're smart. They're nice. They have your best interests in mind. They'll talk you through this thing. Give them a call, 720-541-5545. You can visit bingoreversemortgage.com. If you tell them that I sent you there, if when you do business with them, you say, I heard about you from Jerry on KNUS. It's actually George, but I get that all the time. They will reimburse you $750 for the appraisal fee at the time of closing. That's kind of a sweet deal. They're an equal housing lender. You can call them at 720-541-5545 for cost information and conditions. Licensed in Colorado. NMLS ID number 2268418. That's bingoreversemortgage.com. When we come back, our buddies at Alpine Planning, it's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Friday. The one thing I hope is funky in a good way are the financial markets. On Funky Financial Markets Friday, to have that discussion, we got to go right to our resident funky financial markets expert. His name is Brian Gray. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Well, I tell you what, you might want to go back to that funky toe ad there, because we don't have any good news right now. But I know it, George.
What's
I know
going
it.
On?
It seems like it. I don't know when I'm on the radio giving the report, everything's in the red. When Amy's on here, it's green, and then when Gabe's on here, you know, it's seesawing. But let's start it off.
Seahawks.
We got to do it. So, yeah, don't mention the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. He's been running around here like a peacock. We got the Dow currently down 306 points. The S&P's down 52, and the Nasdaq, that's the big loser. The Nasdaq is down 192 points.
Yikes.
A lot of this, we dodged a rail strike for now, which would really cripple the country as far as moving freight. They kind of hit the pause button on that yesterday, but I don't think we have seen the last of it yet. And the timing of that couldn't be any worse as we're starting to go into the holiday season. FedEx, they came out with some news today. They have cut their sales by $500 million, warning of a slowing economy. So there's a lot of things out there. You know, Amy told me today, try to be positive, but, you know, there's not a lot of positive news out there, George. There's no place to run and hide with these indexes. Really, the only thing you can do is just kind of – focus on that allocation, ride it out a little bit, see where it takes you. If you're within 5 years of retirement or already retired, you better be taking a good hard look at that retirement portfolio right now, because you know you're coming into some crucial years.
When you're looking at stuff like this, Brian, a couple thoughts, and you and I have talked about this in the past. There's that old adage about Buffett who says, hey, you know, when you buy is when there's blood in the streets. Are we there yet? And I'm not saying time the market, because as you pointed out a million times, you can't time the market. But do you ever get a sense of, hey, when things are like this, this is a good time to consider what to do with your funds, whether it's move things into more cash or move things into the stock market, because we know it's going to go up. Historically, it always has. I mean, what sort of things are you looking at?
Yeah, absolutely. You're trying to, you know, this is going to be a bad analogy. You're trying to cherry pick certain companies that maybe just be down. They're just down right now for some unforeseen reason. So you try to pick those companies up. You know, Apple comes out yesterday with the new iPhone, the 14. We had some clients in here yesterday. They immediately went out and bought some more Apple stock, because everybody still wants the newest model. So absolutely, you're always looking for something to pick up. You know, you really can't go to cash right now, because if you go to cash, you're just selling a position and you're just going to lock in a loss. So we try to be very methodical about how we go about, you know, picking positions, picking mutual funds, picking ETFs, the exchange-traded funds. There are buys to have out there, but, you know, I think this is where working with an advisor will, you know, pay off in the long run. I think that's key.
And this is why you're out there, and this is why you need to have someone with your guys' kinds of expertise. Even if one of you is a Seahawks fan, it doesn't take away what he knows about the financial world. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success and mostly rooting for the Broncos. Investing is a matter of trust. They are prepared to earn yours. Call them today, 303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Brian, have a great weekend. Go Broncos.
You know what, George? I'm going to start throwing in there, go Duke, just for your wife.
Oh, sweet goodness, buddy. Then there's fighting words. Thanks, Brian.
Have a good weekend. See ya.
See you, my man.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Listen, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Lori Smith, an incredible case. You've sort of heard something like it before, but not this one. The Supreme Court's going to hear it. Lori Smith versus, what, the state of Colorado? George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.